Have you ever wondered what event leaders are doing right now to pack their rooms and convert attendees into high-ticket clients? Welcome to the High Profit Event Show, the podcast for experts who want to maximize profits and impact through live events. I'm Rudy Rodriguez, and each week I interview industry leaders to share what's working right now when it comes to filling your events, engaging your audience, and getting clients to enroll into your high-ticket programs. So stick around and be sure to hit that subscribe button. Welcome to today's episode. We have a guest with us, Mr. David Fagan. Welcome, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah, great to have you on, David. It's been great getting to know you over the last, gosh, I think over 5 years now, since we were mutually introduced by friends.
And 2019,
yeah. Yeah, 2019. And one of the things I really respect about you is, in addition to being an event leader and having spoken at over 1,000 events and having the highest honor and title in the National Speaking Association, you're just a world-class professional at what you do.
Thank
and you really focus on service at the highest level when it comes to helping many other event leaders, actually, and A-list celebrities and professionals get their publicity into the world. And I just want to share a couple more bio points about you for our audience. They really lean in and tune into listening to this whole episode. You were the former CEO of Guerrilla Marketing, which was a book that sold over 23 million copies in 62 languages. You were also the former host of the California cable TV show. And in addition to all the amazing business work that you've done, you've also recently been awarded the President's Lifetime Achievement Award, which both you and your spouse got the award individually for directly and indirectly contributing to over 5,000 hours of non-religious related service work in the country. It's really impressive, man.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. One thing I have to stay in integrity with or be authentic with is I was the former CEO of Guerrilla Marketing. So I got to co-author some books with Jay Conrad Levinson. So when we say Guerrilla Marketing sold 23 million books, Jay probably gets credit for 21,900 and whatever. But yes, I got to have very good mentors and I've ridden the coattails of some amazing mentors. So I need to share the credit adequately with some very great men and women in my life.
Yeah, as should be done, man. I appreciate that. And before we jump into talking about your events and events experience, I also want to note for the audience that some of the interesting work that you've been doing recently are documentaries that air on major networks. And I believe you're doing regular trips to Kenya, Africa. I know you'll be able to share a little bit about that with our audience here as well.
Yeah.
So look forward to hearing more about that as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So David, we want to jump into the meat and potatoes for our audience and giving them as much value as possible. I know you recently did an event called the Trailblazer Event. And
yeah.
I'd love if you can just share with our audience just high level a little bit about that event and
let
we know a little bit about it. And then I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions about it that we can capture lessons learned and best practices from that event.
Yeah. Something we've been doing for the last 3 or 4 years is producing what we would call more of a broadcast event. And by broadcast event, I mean that it's literally being broadcasted online through Facebook Live and LinkedIn and YouTube. And when it goes out through Roku and all these different platforms you're very aware of. So these are online live events and each event was a theme. So we did Thinking Grow Rich and we did the Neuroscience Summit and we did Money Forum Live. And I've had some great co-producers like Adora Crystal Evans, who I just recently connected you with. And we'll bring in different news and media. We've brought in partners like Bloomberg TV and NASDAQ and the Los Angeles Tribune and the New York City Independent, the DC Chronicle and the Atlanta Post. So it's really this great joint venture of media outlets broadcasting. And you're seeing that becoming more and more popular. Last night, we have somebody who's running for the office of the president, who's on one of the biggest platforms out there. They're not on a TV network. They're on formerly known as Twitter. They're on X, Elon Musk, and they're just broadcasting it to everyone. Well, that's what we've been doing for several years now. And the last theme that we did was the Trailblazer event. So we talked about trailblazers and pioneers and disruptors. So we brought on Lisa Nichols and Mark Victor Hansen and Les Brown and Dennis Whaley from the classic Psychology of Selling and Psychology of Winning, and just talked to them about how did you disrupt the marketplace? How have you been a pioneer? How did you hit a dead end and then blaze your own trail? and it was a lot of fun. And what's cool is, unlike television, when you're watching these broadcast events, you can see like, oh, wow, there's 1,000 people just watching here. And there's 2,000 people just watching over there. And it's interactive, right? So people can get in the comments and they start talking and agreeing and disagreeing. And what really is the future, right? It's like, we've been talking about that future and it's been here more and more. And every day it's more interactive and more live. And so the next event that we're going to do is one with a genius theme. It's going to be the Genius Summit and Symposium. And we'll talk about people's genius. How do they tap into their genius? What's your unique genius? How do you find your genius? So yeah, it's always fun. There's always news and media. There's always wildly successful people. And it's very rewarding to see all the people interact.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you for giving us that overview on your event. And I actually, as you were saying that, I went and glanced at some of the people that were on your event on the website, trailblazerevent.com. And it's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
The lineup of people you had there. I'm curious, was this a one-day event or a three-day event? Can you give us a...
Yeah, it was a three-day online event. They always are. And then we'll follow up like a couple days later with a live in-person kind of VIP for the people that want to travel and be face-to-face. But yeah, I'm glad you looked at that website. We always like to drop names to help people understand how big it is. But interestingly enough, some of the coolest people you wouldn't have known, but the industry is really exciting. For example, we had somebody in food sustainability that literally creates these food forests. We had somebody in water recycling water. Like, I never even really thought of that, how much water is wasted in restaurants. And anyways, so we had just some really cool people like Melissa Osorio. She came and talked about plant medicine, right? Somebody else, Maya Rose and Gerald Rogers, they came and talked about sex and psychedelics, but they're all on the cutting edge. They're all pioneers. They're all disrupting the marketplace in their own way. And so it was fun having people from so many different industries. Sometimes we're on events and they're all different people, but they're all in somewhat the same industry. One thing I was very proud about producing that event and the people we brought in is it was such a diverse group. We had musicians, we had artists, we had people that were scientists. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's really cool, man. I can see here on that it was quite diverse.
Yeah.
Just seeing that cross list makes you want to go to your next one, man, your genius event.
Yeah.
Very cool. So 3-day event recently, I think it was just last month. The top of my question most event leaders ask themselves is, hey, how do I get people to my event? Maybe I have a lineup or what have you, but what worked for you to get people to that? And maybe if you can share maybe some of the results, like how many people were there and how you came about doing that, I think that would be very valuable for our audience.
Yeah. So we'll usually use StreamYard as the technology that we're broadcasting out the event over all the social media platforms. And what's really cool about that is it will show us how many people are viewing. If you go to any individual platform, like you could go to my Facebook page, you might see 1,100 people viewing. Well, that's just on Facebook. If you go to, then you got to go to LinkedIn, you got to go to YouTube. But StreamYard, it combines all of them. So one of the things we would do is we would do screenshots so that we could show our sponsors, American Express, Capital One, some of these bigger sponsors. We could show people the newspapers, Atlanta Post, Los Angeles Tribune. We can show them kind of what some of those numbers look like. So that's one of the ways that we see that in terms of how do we get those people there. There are some different things that we do in terms of social media marketing. Probably the most important way is making sure that you really have something that people want. I think sometimes we think more in terms of what does everyone need? What does everyone need? You got to really ask yourself, what does everybody want? And then how do I still give them what they need? So one of the things that I've realized is people really want to participate. They want to be a part of the conversation. When we can create platforms, when they can talk about themselves a little bit, or they can share their points of views, that's one of many things, but probably top of the list nowadays that they really want. So first you got to create that want and then get people to share that for you. I think something that a lot of people do that we do especially well is making sure that the people that want to be a part of the event, that they want that exposure, that they're willing to share. We're creating a really amazing event. We're using really great platforms. We're creating a way that a lot of people can be a part of the conversation. So we have a good product, if you will, to sell first. And then we're going to people and other speakers and promoters and saying, hey, help us with this. Help us share. What's your list? What's your social media? I'll also say that I'm a big fan of the pre-event event. Sometimes you have to have an event just to talk about the event. But probably one of the things overall, Rudy, advice that I would give to anybody putting on an event is you can't really do any one thing. There's probably 100 different ways to promote an event, and you got to do them all. You can't pick out the best one. You just got to do them all. Something else that we've done in the past that I know helps, it's hard for me because I'm not really wired this way. So I think I don't always put as much stock in this, but having contests, having leaderboards. And again, it's not going to be for everyone, but you just got to do everything. So there are people that are a little bit competitive, or there are people that they want to be seen a certain way. They got a healthy kind of ego. And so they're like, so, hey, this is how many people you brought. Sam, you've got 10. Rudy has 100. What's going on, man? Oh, dang, Rudy has 100. Oh, I can't let Rudy be me. I got to get some more people. And I think in order to have a contest, you've got to have tracking. You've got to have a way for them to see what they're doing. So when you got a great product and you got a great team that's marketing for you and you give them the right tools so that things are being tracked, they know that their efforts are being monitored. It's both the carrot and the stick, right? When their efforts are being monitored, it's like, dang, if I don't do anything, they're going to see it. That's not good. And hey, if I do something, they're going to see it. That's exciting, right? So, I mean, I could go on and on, but I think so. Those are some of the top things: getting people to promote the event, rewarding them for promoting the event, putting together a great event with a great lineup so that people are excited. I'll leave you with one last thought on events here, Rudy, and that is the old seminar is very hard to fill. People want to go to galas, dress up, get awards, red carpet. They want to go to like masterminds or joint ventures because they get to talk about themselves. Yeah, I get to talk about myself. When do I get to talk? Those are doing really well. And retreats. For almost a decade, we've been going to Bangladesh, Thailand. We've been to Kenya 3 times in the last 2 years. We're getting ready to go back in another month. People will pay for the experience. And as you probably know, there's a great book called The Experience Economy, probably 30, 40 years old now, but it's still very relevant. So, you know, what kind of experience are you creating? A seminar is more about education. And Rudy, there is so little value in education nowadays. The value of knowledge is zero. Now, wisdom, that's a different thing. We can talk about the difference between knowledge and wisdom, but knowledge, YouTube, AI, Google, you want knowledge, you just go ask ChatGPT, right? Now, for an experience or to gain wisdom or to get the power of proximity, as our friend Tony Robbins says, to get close to these key people, to have an adventure in a foreign land, to have a life-changing conversation. I tell people, like, what are you doing to create a life-changing conversation? Like, I can think of times that my mentors told me something. It was like, man, that was a life-changing conversation. How do we create life-changing conversations for the people around us?
That's a big point you made there, man. Really, there's a lot of gold nuggets here. I'm just going to recap a couple of things I heard. One, just top of mind, hey, there's almost no value on information alone these days. You can get it from anywhere, AI, information infinity, but it's experience and wisdom that people value. And so seminars for seminar's sake are not very effective these days. More people want the galas, the masterminds, the retreats where they get to be more about them and getting to speak and be seen and their own unique experience in that. So that's I think it's big to hear. Maybe a little uncomfortable or controversial, perhaps, for this particular podcast and people who do a lot of seminars. But hey, people want to hear what works, right?
Yeah. And it's not to say that you can't have a seminar. And I think you hang around with a pretty elite group of people. Even their seminars aren't really seminars. They're breaking arrows and they're walking on fire coals and they're looking deep into the eyes and they're having breakthroughs and they're breaking down and getting built up. And so it's very experienced, I guess, is what I'm saying. So even though it might be classified as a seminar, I don't think most of the people in your world are sitting in a hotel room with a workbook doing spreadsheets on a PowerPoint projector. Like, I don't think that's probably what it is for the most part. Now, I do have some real estate friends, but that's exactly kind of what they're doing. And to each their own. But yeah, the more, if you're really trying to have a big audience, or you're trying to have maybe not a big audience, but a very high quality audience, that's a big ticket. People are going to pay thousands of dollars. People, like when people come to Kenny with us, they're spending $15,000 to $25,000, and they can't even really make any money off of it. Now, will they get videos? Will they have life-changing experiences? Will they get pictures of on stage speaking to thousands of people? Will they get news and media? Will they make friends for life? Will they hang out with other wildly successful people and end up doing business with them later on? Yes to all of those things. But I can't go to Kenya and speak to university students. Like, they don't even have the money to buy my book for $20. And I could give it to them for a dollar and they don't even have enough money to buy it. So, but yet they pay. Why? Because they want to have a life-changing experience. They want to have the trip of a lifetime. They want to be changed or evolve into the best version of themselves. They want to have epiphanies. And it's the easiest to do that when you're taken out of your everyday element and you're placed at a Burning Man, a Thailand retreat, a Kenyan village in the Masai Mara and safari and dung huts. Like, when we're really taken out of our element and disconnected from some of our everyday comforts, that's really when the magic can happen. Yeah, and people will invest in you.
100%. Speaking of investing, right, into experiences, into programs, you and I both know that when people attend events, they tend to get excited and they get motivated, maybe inspired, but that they leave the event without getting additional support, whether it's through a coaching program, a mastermind, done for you service, something on that line. Life tends to get in the way and their best set intentions or goals get derailed. What's been your experience as far as how, when you run your events, what works for you to assist people in continuing their education with you so that they can follow through on the outcomes that they're seeking?
What works best for me in getting them to continue their education?
Yes. So to enroll into higher level programs with you and continue their work with you. So they don't just leave the event excited, but without having the need to implement.
Well, in addition to having those experiences that really move them in various ways, I think it comes down to results. They see some type of measurable results in themselves, but also they see our clients, they see our partners, they see the people that have been around us for years. Nothing wrong with evolving or changing, but you'll see my team, and Richard's been with me for 3 or 4 years. My designer web guy has been with me for almost 8 years. Like, we don't have tons of turnover. Some of my clients, and they almost all become friends, and I've known them for 10 years, 5 years, whatever. So the results. So when people look around at your community, which really is somewhat of a reflection of you, like, one of the best things I can say is just like, forget about me. Just look at my people. And then they're not perfect. And we always have the occasional oddball or odder than the rest of the oddballs. But I think that that's what people see. They go, okay, this person went from here to here with David and his team and this community. That's what I want. And to reverse engineer that, knowing that, we try to show that even more, right? Like, we want our happy, successful clients to be a part of that. And what's funny, Rudy, I'll tell you, I've experimented over the years where I'll say, hey, would you love to talk to some of our happy clients? And I've even said, would you even like to talk to one of our unhappy clients? People are like surprised. They're like, really? I'm like, yeah, like, they'll probably talk to you. Like, why not talk to them? And I don't even mind it, because if you look at some of the few people that haven't had the results they hope for, you can tell pretty quickly why. But it's such a shift where it's just like, happy guy, happy guy, happy guy. Oh, this person, all these testimonials. And then somebody says to you, do you want to talk to somebody where it didn't work out really well? It's like, really? But it's results. Why did these people get results? Why did these few people maybe didn't get results? Am I going to be more like this guy? If so, don't do it. Can I do what they did? I think I can. Well, great, do it. We don't want the people who don't take action. We don't want the people who can't put in the time. We don't want the people who aren't serious. So when you can show that realness and authenticity, I think that's what keeps people going on the journey of, okay, what next? Okay, what next?
Yeah, there's so many golden nuggets inside of that, man. I'm just going to highlight a couple that I heard. One, the social proof of the results, and not just in your own life, but your people, your clients. So when people see the people you've worked with and the results you've helped them produce, then they relate to that result. And if they see themselves being able to get that, then they want to move forward and work with you, which makes sense. It's the results that people are looking for. And I love the point that you said about being authentic and surprising them and willing to share. Someone may not be happy, so they can self-assess if you like that person. One of my mentors, Keith Cunningham, who I was in a program with him for a couple of years, I remember when he actually brought up this concept saying, hey, if you're going to do a big consulting deal, actually ask, hey, can you give me an example of a client that you worked with where it did not turn out the way you would have hoped? And what were the lessons learned from that so that I can avoid making those same mistakes?
Yeah.
And if a client or provider maybe like yourself is willing to highlight a project that didn't work and is able to identify the lessons learned from that, then that's like a gold star. I think that's a question that I wish more people knew to ask, especially when making a big decision, a big investment in their business, because that can save them a lot of time, money, headache. Also for you and for service providers, right?
Yeah.
Screening people. That's huge. That there is like big gold nugget, gold star. Everyone in business here. I wish more people think that way.
Yeah. Good. Thanks.
Yeah. Also, brother, you've shared a lot of really gold nuggets when it comes to the events that you've done, your experience. And I know you're leading people to an event in Kenya here in the near future that's going to be a world-class experience. Can you share with us a little bit more about that and how our listeners can explore that option with you if they're interested?
Yeah. So what we're doing this time is pretty much almost the same what we've done every time. And that is we fly out on a Saturday so we can land on a Sunday. You lose 10 to 13 hours traveling over to Nairobi, Kenya. And so we get there on a Sunday and we get as much rest as we can. We hit the ground running on a Monday and we'll go to places and do press conferences, news, media interviews, Good Morning Kenya, their version of Good Morning America. We'll get some of our clients on that. And then we'll go to some schools. The big one that we usually go to is Kenyatta. We've been there every time. They have 70,000 students. They'll usually put a few thousand students in front of us. And it's like a TED Talk, right? We'll bring a dozen or so people in there and they're giving advice to them. And we might offer different types of scholarships. And keep in mind, in places like Kenya, you can support a student for like $200-$300 for the whole year, $200-$300 US. And it's the whole year. So our group will have hundreds of different students and people that get sponsored and fun ways to kind of find those people. We'll spend a couple of days in Nairobi and then we do an in-country flight that goes up to Kisumu. And we get off and we get in a bus and then we drive a little bit further to go to Kisi. And we'll go to universities like Kisi Polytechnic, Kisi University. There's a manga school for girls that has about 800 girls. We've been there a bunch of times. Just an amazing all-girls school. We've just seen them grow, grow, grow. We put a water tank in there. There's another girls boarding school called Kareri. They got over 3,000 girls there. We bring them all out onto the field, taught them how to do the wave. They love it, right? So I'm like running down this field. They're all doing the wave. We got these great videos of doing that. We'll go into a village while we're out in that area. We've painted blackboards. We've helped put in fences. There's certain types of problems that typically will affect these villages. One of the most dangerous is when women go look for wood for fire, or they need to get water. It's typically when they're assaulted the most and much worse. So by putting water tanks inside the village, by helping gate things, it just creates another layer of protection for them. We put in computer libraries. That's really a lot of what the team wants to do. But we'll spend a few days in that area to see, and then we hop in the bus again, and then we go even further out, right? So we start in the big city, Nairobi, and then we go out to maybe their version of the suburbs. It's not really the suburbs. It's like their version of it. And then we go all the way out to the Masai Mara, where this is like the Maasai people, like they've been the same for 5,000 years, which is great. Like, wow, you've kept it the same, but it's also really sad. Like, wow, you've kept the same. Like they're still living in dung huts that the women make and they're still goat herding and whatever. more successful ones will become guides, take you out on safari. But we go up there, we visit some of those people. Last time we were up there, a couple of the women on the trip wanted to supply feminine products for the village. That's a really hard thing. So they ended up just raiding a couple stores, like 1,500 different products. So it basically would help the school go for, I think, 3 months without having any need with that. But they'll dance, they'll talk to us, we'll do fun competitions, but it's just meant to be very inspiring to them there. We take pictures with them. One village, me and Jim Poole, we decided to take a sheet out of one of our rooms and we brought a projector and we like nailed it up inside this dirt floor building. And we showed them the first movie they'd ever seen. Gives me a chills thinking about it right now. But we played Finding Nemo. So there's like 100 kids just like all crowded in. I got video of this as well. And this is why I got turned into a documentary, is because all the cool video we have of all these cool things. But the kids are there watching Finding Nemo. What was really funny, Rudy, is I'd probably say a third of the kids, probably after 5-10 minutes, they just got up and walked out and went back to kicking their ball. They just love to kick a ball. They just love to outside and play. So it's like, yeah. But most of them were pretty mesmerized by it. But the funniest thing and the coolest thing at the end of that experience, Rudy, and I tell this story, this is one of my life-changing stories that I got to experience, is when it was all done, probably 5 or 6 kids went up to the sheet and they're looking at the sheet. And they're looking behind the sheet because the sheet's like magic to them, right? And the teachers are saying, oh, they're trying to see what's special about the sheet. And we're kind of laughing. Then a few other kids, they went over to the projector, like, this is where the magic is. And then other kids are like looking at the laptop. And it's really interesting. Like, it became a lesson for life. It's like, how many times are we excited and impressed about the sheet? How many times do we worship the sheet thinking this is where it all comes from? This is the source. And some of us are like, no, it's the projector. So some of us are worshiping the projector, or we want the projector, we want to buy the projector. Other people like it's the laptop. Other people like it's all, anyways. But it just became this great metaphor for life. And I can expand on that quite a bit, as I'm sure all of you get the idea. But it was through watching these kids. And now I can tell that story and it means something to me. And I tell my kids, and my kids now have kids. I've got grandkids, if you can believe that. The oldest is only 5, but this trip ends the end of a week on the Masai Mara, and I reward them all with glamping. So it's these big canvas tents, but like luxury, like 5-star. And it's like 75% canvas tent. The very back is stone, where it has a little bit of a bathroom and stuff built into it. And we go out on safari, like the best safari you could go on in the world. This is where professional athletes, the Kardashians, like this is where they would go on safari. So we go on safari on the very last day. And the people have worked sun up to sun down, giving, 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 speaking, painting, serving, being attacked. Everybody wants to feel your hair. It's all kinds of stuff. Everyone wants to take pictures. And so at the very end, we just kind of hang out and we do some different cool things, ceremonial kind of things, kind of gel as a group. And then on the very last morning, following Monday, we get up, we get on a little tiny prop plane. And we fly back to Nairobi, and then later that night we fly home. And that very last flight, it's literally on top of a mountain, and it's just a field. And there's just like some picnic tables. And the very first time I was there, Rudy, it was like I was getting out of the car, and they're like, no, no, no. I was like, why? And then they pointed out, and so there's this massive field. Well, you could see lions popping their head up over the straw. So it's just basically the airstrip is in the middle of the Masai Mara, and you got to stay in your car. You got to stay with people. Like, you can be like picked off by lions and cheetahs and stuff. But yeah, you get on this little tiny plane at the very end, and we've got a really cool video. Maybe we'll send it to you. It's like a 2-3 minute, just kind of like montage video of the wave and the places and the airports and buses and whatever. And I did it the trip first in 2015, but we've done it 3 times here in the last couple of years. And a lot of that footage we sent off to different places, and Bloomberg TV, which has something called Bloomberg Originals. It's a big news outlet, a lot of credibility. Like, we're going to air the documentary on their network, which we're filming here in the very near future. So kenya.toptagency.com will get everybody that. But yeah, you can check out that website because there's lots of pictures, there's lots of videos, there's lots of information. And we're always looking for more servant leaders, speakers, authors, experts that want to stand in front of big audiences, that want to inspire. We take off on like a Saturday. We come back on the following Monday. So the whole thing, because of travel time, it probably ends up being like 9-10 days, but we're in the country for 7.5 days, 8 nights, something like that. This year we leave on Saturday the 28th, land on the 29th. We start on Monday the 30th. We fly back on Monday the 7th. By the time you land back in the US, it's usually the night of the 8th, maybe the morning of the 9th. How about that? How about that for a report?
That's awesome, man.
Admit it. You're excited. You want to, you can go. I know you've got these other things going on, but you want to go. I know you do.
Hey, I'm not going to say can't, man. Send over the video. I may be there. I believe everything's
It's a lot of fun, man. It's a lot of fun.
Very rewarding.
Yeah, appreciate you sharing that. And I love the combination of like adventure, the fun, also the opportunity for publicity and to have memorable experiences. I really, really appreciate that. Yeah, please, when you send over that link, I'm going to include in the show notes here so our audience can just go right down below, click on it and watch the video. And if they are interested and want to explore potentially joining you on a safari, what would be the best step for them at that point?
Yeah, my website is on my, davidtfang.com. There's the calendar link there that you could actually book time. We'll also give them a calendar link just so I have the direct calendar link. They don't even have to go to the website. But yeah, we'll give them multiple ways to get to me, to set a time, to talk, see if it's a fit for them. If you're thinking about, do they have gluten-free meals and what day is the spa day, this probably isn't the trip for you. if those are your initial reactions of how much free time do we have and are there gluten-free options? And now the good news, everything in Kenya is organic. But other than that, you'll probably drop a few pounds. Like I've had to really learn how to pack and bring trail mix and beef jerky and things like that, because it's just different. It's not bad. I mean, there's some good stuff over there, but it's not like eating in America, which is probably a good thing. You're going to come out kind of healthy.
Yeah, for sure. And one quick plug for our audience here. I did a Kenya adventure trip back in July 2016. And there's no way I would have had that experience if it wasn't with an organized group the way I did it. And so for audience who's maybe in the back of their head, say, hi, want to do a safari, or I've always wanted to go to Africa, or want to find ways to contribute directly instead of some nonprofit, but actually go to Africa and meet the kids and help them out, I would highly recommend talk to David, because I don't know how else I would go about doing that if it wasn't having someone like David who's been there several times, well organized, who has the network, the contacts to be able to have a world-class experience that way.
Yeah. And I'll also tell you this right now, Kenya does have some civil unrest and there is a travel advisory. Now, we travel in a group. We travel with Kenyans. We don't really go to any bad places, but there's a lot of places in this world. We did a lot of stuff in Bangladesh. Bangladesh just went through some crazy stuff. Much better now. Nobel Peace Prize. Dr. Muhammad Yunus is kind of leading out over there. But point being is, yeah, whenever we go to these places, we put a lot of time and energy into safety, locals, advisories, people who we're traveling with. So what you're saying, Rudy, is very true. You wouldn't, especially right now in the world, there's these types of places you wouldn't want to just be like, let's go on safari. I mean, you could, but yeah, the more of a group you're with, the more you have somebody that knows somebody and locals, the better, the safer, better it's going to be for sure.
Absolutely, man. Thank you again for being on with us on the show today. And as we wrap up here, just any final words you'd like to share with our audience, final takeaways or words of advice?
Something I used to say a lot and think about a lot, and I just got out of the habit and other things became more important that's been showing up again in my life, is just so much really does have to do with the people you surround yourself with. And I know a lot of people talk about, oh, you're the average success of your 5 closest friends or connections or whatever. I mean, yeah, that's one way to say it, but it's simpler than that. And it's also more complex than that. But who are you really purposefully putting in your life? And what is that intention? And one of the things too about these trips we do and these events we do, one of the reasons why they're so effective in making a positive difference in our lives is because it is the quality of people and people that are on a mission to better themselves and to better the world and better the planet. So I would always send people back to that of, and I'll kind of tie it into this last thought because they go together. If you're not where you want to be in life, money, especially money financially, but everything. It's because you're not having the right conversations with the right people. You want to change everything, have more of the right kind of conversations with the right kind of people. Now, some people need to get educated on what kind of conversation that is. They don't know how to have that. And some people, they know the conversation, but they're just trying to find the people. But even me, when things slow down or I get a little stuck or it feels like I'm not working out, it's like, okay, how many conversations am I going to have? Like good conversations with good people. And that's why, I like talking to you, Rudy. Like you're very good at making sure when someone's talking to you, that they're having the right kind of conversation. So just ask yourself that. What am I doing? Now, a lot of us working from home, right? We're all getting out there more, but still a lot of us working from home. You're in Puerto Rico, so you're doing a lot online. So it's like, you got to be really careful that you can slip into this lone wolf mode when you can feel like you're doing things. I'm on social media. Look at me. I'm doing stuff. I'm clicking stuff. But that will never replace. It will never replace. No amount of emails, no amount of social media will ever replace. You just getting on a phone or on a Zoom call and having the right kind of conversation with the right people.
Mic drop. Boom. If you're not having the success you want in your life or business, especially business, not having the right type of conversations with the right people. And it could be one without the other and still miss the mark. People, wrong conversations, right conversations, wrong people.
Yeah. I know lots of people where it's like they've shifted in their own life and they're having the right kind of conversations. The people they're talking to, they're not affluent people. They don't have the money. They don't have the work ethic. They don't have the dedication. So they're saying the right thing, but they're just not getting anywhere. It's just because they got to go find people that are better fit. Other people, they're a really good person, but they try to get on and just have a sales call. They're a really good person, but they just try to get on and they try to have more of a transactional kind of conversation. And there's a time and place for that. Nothing wrong with that. But it's got to be more of that. I'm telling you, man, you line up the right conversation with the right people, it's going to happen. Like you can't stop it. Like it might not happen on the first one, but if you had 10 conversations, good quality conversations with 10 good quality people, it would be almost impossible for something not to come out of that.
Perfect, man. That's a great ending point right there. That's something to think about big time. Yeah. Thanks again, David, for being a guest on our show today. For our listener, go to the links below, check David out, check out his Kenya event. Reach out to David, have a conversation with David and have the right conversation with David. And who knows what may be possible from there.
Yeah. Let's do it. Yeah.
All right. Awesome. Thank you, brother. Appreciate you, man.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the High Profit Event Show. If you are a seminar leader or thought leader or event service provider who has led or supported profitable, successful events to over 100 people, and you've been effective at enrollment into your high-end coaching, education, mastermind type programs, we're looking for guests. Love to have you on the show. You can go to our website, virtualeventsalesteam.com, click on the podcast tab and submit an application to be on our show. Also, if you found the show to be valuable, share it with someone who you think might benefit from it. Take a moment, please leave a review, and also subscribe if you haven't already. And lastly, if you have an upcoming event, whether it be virtual or in person, and you'd like to have a conversation about how to fill your coaching, education, mastermind programs fast using events, you're welcome to book a complimentary 15-minute consult with either myself or a member of my team on our website, virtualeventsalesteam.com. Again, this is Rudy Rodriguez, and congratulations on investing the time to listen to this episode. I hope it's been valuable. Have a great day.